Welcome to another episode in the podcast called Labor Matters, where I address trending issues in employment law and labor-related matters. I'm Michelle Russell, attorney at law, and I have a passion for employment law and generally anything labor-related. I also describe myself as a budding social activist. I write a weekly column for the Sunday Sun where I specifically address employment law and labor matters. If you want to learn more about your rights as an employer or an employee, be sure to get your copy of the Sunday Sun.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email e-paper support at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle, St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Now, I'm so excited about today's episode because we're going to address two things. No more safe zones. The chief medical officer said recently in a press conference that the Safe Zone initiative, which would have been suitable for an Alpha variant or the Delta variant, is not suitable in an Omicron environment, so that the government has decided not to go forward with the originally planned Safe Zone initiative. And I'm dying to talk about that because those of you who have been following me or reading my articles know that since December, I have been harping on the fact that safe from what? When the Omicron variant is so transmissible among both vaccinated and unvaccinated, what benefit is there in excluding the unvaccinated when anyone can catch it? So I'm looking forward to talking about that and what it means for employment, what it means for testing mandates that employers are trying to put in. But I also at the end want to address the teachers. I realize the teachers are facing public scrutiny again, and I want to see if I can bring a balance to the argument as we look to see if, whether some of the comments criticizing their demands for a safe return to the classroom, whether those comments are actually fair and whether we might want to look at it from a different perspective. So let's get into it. In last week, Saturday, it was our chief medical officer, Dr. Kenneth George, essentially said that the concept of safe zones cannot be transposed into an Omicron environment. And I could not agree more, because that's what the science has been saying since December. That's what the data in Barbados has been showing. And I was wondering when we were going to get to the point where we updated our approach based on the new science and based on the new data. So I was thrilled when Dr. Kenneth George made the statement, because you know, since the elections, we've been waiting to hear the government's position on going forward with mandates or safe zones. So for those of you who might not remember, back in November, the government rolled out what would have been the safe zones directives specifically targeted at the health services sector. So it would have covered anyone in the health service sector. It was eventually going to be extended to tourism, to teachers and other industries, right? But they were the essential guinea pigs. There was the rollout and a lot of backlash because people misunderstood the directives and thought it meant that unvaccinated patients couldn't go see doctors. The doctors made a fuss about it, and there was a meeting, and the safe zone directives were withdrawn. And by the directives, I mean the statutory instrument, which we in law, we call it subsidiary legislation. So the legislation itself was withdrawn and it was supposed to be rolled back out with certain amendments. Now, what did the safe zone directive say? Essentially, anyone who was in the stated safe zones, and the directive itself specified what qualified as safe zones in the health sector. So it was like all medical offices, the polyclinic, the QEH, nursing homes, those kinds of things. Anyone in those areas who was an employee had to either be vaccinated or tested at certain intervals. Now, those directives essentially had the weekly testing of unvaccinated workers, even though they divided workers between high risk and low risk. So one of my criticisms about those directives was, what was the point of differentiating between a worker who is high risk for COVID and one that's low risk for COVID if you have all of the unvaccinated testing at the same frequency, regardless of if they're high risk or low risk? But essentially, that's what it was. But it also included the added element that the vaccinated would be tested at random intervals. So I had to applaud the government for this, because at least it was based on the science. It wasn't only unvaccinated that would have been tested regularly, but the vaccinated would have been tested at intervals, which is one of my biggest criticisms for those employers who try to roll out these COVID mandates, vaccination and testing policies, where they're only testing the unvaccinated. That makes no sense. Not when the data since Delta had told us that even the vaccinated could be infected, even if at a lesser rate. So that essentially, anytime an employer tries to implement a policy that says an employee must be vaccinated or tested, then it means the employer is trying to create a safe zone environment in the workplace. So that when the chief medical officer says that the safe zones cannot be transposed into an Omicron environment, it means that whether it is the health sector, whether it's a private office or not, because of the change in the game brought on by Omicron, the safe zone initiative will not work. Now, since December, the first reference I made was to a Christmas party in Norway. They had a Christmas party where all the employees who were attending had to be vaccinated and tested, not or, and tested. And despite all the patrons having been both vaccinated and tested, over 70 of the 101 people who were there ended up catching Omicron. So this was the first clue that the vaccination was not going to stop this transmission. Since then, I have spoken of increasing data where we had lots of data coming out that said the current vaccines do not stop transmission. Any effect against transmission is minimal, so that whether you're vaccinated or not, you can catch Omicron and you can transmit Omicron. The data also showed reduced efficacy against symptomatic disease in respect of Omicron versus how it worked with Delta. So whereas with Delta, you could have gotten up to like an 85% reduction in symptoms if you are vaccinated and catch Delta, under the Omicron, there was reduced efficacy against symptomatic disease. So that the best data that we found for the vaccinated with Omicron is death. It has up to a 90 to 95% chance the vaccine will stop you from dying. But of course, that becomes relevant if you're already at high risk of dying, but we won't go there. So that Omicron really changed the game. On top of that, data out of the UK, the United Kingdom Health Security Agency, since December, showed that a booster dose would only give 10 weeks of protection against symptomatic disease, not against transmission. So that Omicron changed the game and was leveling the playing field. And whether you're vaccinated or you're unvaccinated, we were all susceptible to catching it. What seemed to remain true was that the vaccinated seemed to shed the virus quicker. The vaccinated seemed to have less symptoms, but not in every case. And the vaccinated tended to have less post-COVID symptoms. But then, even if you didn't want to believe the international data, we had it here in Barbados. The Ministry of Health COVID dashboards, where they break down people in isolation based on their vaccination status. For the week ending the 29th of December, the 30th and 31st of December, and up to the 7th of January, showed more vaccinated persons in isolation than unvaccinated. And then when you followed it again, you found that coming down to the end of January, between the week ending January 27th, the 31st, and right up to 4th February, had more vaccinated people in isolation than the unvaccinated. In fact, the Ministry of Health has not provided an update in that dashboard since 4th February. And I can imagine why. Everybody catching Omicron, whether you're vaccinated or not. So it's almost pointless at this point to be breaking it down. And I'm sure all of us know at least one or two vaccinated persons, boosted persons who've caught Omicron. So that if you are claiming that the unvaccinated are a threat to your workplace because they can catch COVID, you have to look at the full data and the full science that says everybody can catch it. So if your claim is that the reason you institute a testing mandate is to provide a safe place of work, it means you are trying to provide a workplace that's safe from transmission of the virus. That's it, because you can't keep an employee from having symptomatic disease or from hospital being hospitalized or dying. Your duty as an employer is to just make sure the workplace environment that they come into is safe. And the only way to do that is to reduce the likelihood of transmission, which is why the safety protocols are important. Mask wearing, sanitizing, social distancing. But if you cannot stop a vaccinated or unvaccinated person from catching COVID, then the risk is equal. The risk of the vaccinated and the unvaccinated catching COVID in an Omicron environment remains roughly the same. So that if you are going to impose a testing mandate, the only way that testing mandate could be fair and meet the duty under the Shaw Act to provide a safe place of work, then you have to test both the vaccinated and unvaccinated. And many of you call me, message me, email me, and I have the clients who can tell me that most people in their workplace that are getting COVID are the vaccinated. Therefore, an employer cannot, in law, cannot put detriment on only the unvaccinated workers and say, we're only going to test you, or you can't come into the office if you are not tested, when they're not also testing the vaccinated. They cannot then say to the unvaccinated, you have to pay for the test that we are mandating you to take, when the vaccinated are just as likely to catch it, especially because making you pay for a test is an employment detriment, you know. Because if you are used to carrying home $2,000 a month, and every time you have to pay for the test is $150, that could be up to $600 in expense per month. So that in reality, you're getting $1,600 a month. Whereas the vaccinated, who just as likely to catch it as you, getting the full $2,000 a month. And that is unfair. That's a detriment. And the law actually says that you cannot make a change to employment terms that results in their detriment without providing consideration for that change. And that's a very technical legal term that essentially saying if you're making the change that will create a disadvantage to the employee, you have to give him something in return. And by giving him something in return, it could be more vacation days, it could be an increased pay, it could be anything. But you can't just unilaterally change it without consideration for the detriment. So that the duty under the Shaw Act, and I've said this ad nauseum, is that the employer must take all steps that are reasonably practical to provide a safe place of work. The wording is actually to take all steps and precautions as are reasonably practicable to provide a safe place of work. And the only way to take all the steps is to test the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So if you find that you're working in an environment that is still insisting that only the unvaccinated are tested, you can challenge it. You can challenge it based on the CMO statement that a safe zone environment cannot be transposed into Omicron. Because he, if you read the rest of his statement, he said, because of the sheer number of people who will be infected, you are no greater threat to your employer than the vaccinated. And let's add this thing to it. We know that since about July, we learned from the CDC, from everybody, that vaccine efficacy goes down after 6 months. In fact, it gets back to zero. So if your second shot was more than 6 months ago, you essentially end up on the same plane as the unvaccinated. It's as if you're not vaccinated. So that's why they encourage the boosters. But yeah, a lot of these testing policies that only apply to unvaccinated make no distinction between the vaccinated whose second shot was more than 6 months ago and those who have a booster. So that it's disingenuous, because the science is clear and we all know it. And our Ministry of Health has told us, BAMP has told us, that you need the booster or you won't be protected against transmission. So how can you differentiate between an unvaccinated person and somebody whose second shot was more than 6 months ago and you're only testing one and not the other? It's unfair and it's unjust and it should be challenged, and there are legal mechanisms by which we can challenge it. But I am hoping that good sense will prevail, because I don't know if you follow things coming out of Trinidad, but Republic Bank Trinidad had implemented a vaccine or testing policy back in September. And essentially what they were saying is that if you're unvaccinated, you have to be tested regularly. And about 250 employees in their staff complement were unvaccinated. And they went as far as suspending those who refused to be tested. But they have essentially, the union got involved and the union fought, which is why I will always respect Senator Franklin. Even if I don't always agree with his views, I respect him for fighting, because that's what the unions are supposed to do. Collective bargaining, run the charge for the employees. And the union in Trinidad fought it. And it's now at the point where Republic Bank Barbados has reneged on it. They've said, okay, we're going to remove the testing mandate. And I applaud them, because as employers, we need to be fluid. We need to adjust things as the climate requires. And, you know, they didn't quite get into the reasons why they have rolled back on the policy. But I would like to think it's because they are now accepting the science and accepting the current data that testing only the unvaccinated employees will not prove useful. And I'm only hoping that Republic Bank Barbados will do the same thing, because it's the right thing to do. I'm hoping that good sense will prevail among all those employers who last year were firing employees for being untested or unvaccinated, that they will listen to our chief medical officer, from whom our government takes advice. From whom our government takes advice. These are people we trust with our lives. So why would you now ignore him? We don't get to ignore facts that are inconvenient to our narrative. I am calling upon employers to just do the right thing. The environment has changed. We move into the endemic phase. That's what they tell us. And we're hoping the endemic phase of the pandemic. Most people who get COVID have a mild or bad flu, and we are grateful for that. But employees should not be disadvantaged for the only reason being they're unvaccinated or untested, not when both present a threat. So that's all I will say on that for now. Before I go, I wanted to just address this whole teachers thing. I realize that the teachers are back again in the media, and that the public has been making some really harsh comments against the teachers. And I don't know why it is we like to attack those in the service industry. We attack the nurses, we attack the teachers. And if we keep this up, very few people will be wanting to go into these industries because of the high level of sacrifice they have to make to even survive in the industry. And then the public scrutiny and chastisement. And as I've said for the nurses and those who like to quarrel that the nurses shouldn't be striking, the reality is if the nurses wanted to work for free, they would have worked for a volunteer organization or a charity. They chose paid employment just like me and you, which means they have the right to demand that they be paid. It's the same with the teachers. Mid last year, we quarreled when the teacher said they wanted a holiday. And I did a podcast saying, but holiday is paid holiday. It's a right afforded to all employees. And we need to stop making this distinction that would suggest some employees deserve rights and others should be martyrs. Some employees can enforce their rights, but when other employees enforce it, they're bad and selfish and wicked and should never have gone into that profession. No. Let me tell you about the legislation. When you read our labor legislation, all it says is employees. So when they're mentioning the rights that you have, all it says is employees. It doesn't say part-time employees. It doesn't say full-time employees. It doesn't say employees in the service industry, which means the rights are equally afforded to all employees except in certain situations. And just like how you as an employee have the right to a safe place of work, the teachers have that right under the SHAW Act, which is the Safety and Health at Work Act. That act applies to the government as well. So if they're trying to enforce their right to have a safe place of work, why are we condemning them? They're right. In the same way, when you were called back from remote working, lots of people created a fuss. Lots of employees said, change the ventilation system. Make sure we're sitting far apart. I don't feel safe. And employers had to adjust. In the same way, the teachers have the right to say so. And the last thing I would say is this. We cannot compare the risk of exposure that a teacher has to the risk of exposure that an employee working in an office has. The reality is if you work in an office and you get to go and close the door, or even if you don't have your private office and you work in a cubicle, you might be exposed to maybe 10 employees a day, but you get to choose who you interact with. And it's probably less than 10 employees. But the teachers, they have 20 and 30 students in front of them, so that every day their daily exposure is about 20 to 30 times greater than the average employee. And I say average because you have people who work in the supermarket, their exposure is great. The people who work in the hospitals, their exposure is great. So don't say that because you returned to work and all of us had to make the sacrifice and all of us had to go into these uncomfortable environments, that the teacher should get over it and stop making these demands. That's not true. They are dealing with students, and some of them dealing with young children, and the young children have the hardest time maintaining the safety protocols. And teachers in these environments actually have to help the students. The students will take off their masks. They have to go and physically help them. They have to carry them to the bathroom. They have to help them write. Social distancing has gone through the door. So if they are asking for the added measures because they have a greater risk, we are wrong to condemn them. We need to learn to be kind. We need to learn to be more empathetic and stop creating distinctions among ourselves. This all is race, is creed, is nationality. How about we just say we're all employees and law affords all of us rights? So let everybody equally have the right, without condemnation, to enforce those rights. I'm Michelle Russell. Thank you for joining me in yet another episode of Labor Matters. See you next time.